What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show. It is Thursday, January 26th. Can you believe we're almost in February? The first month of the year just flying by. Yesterday, it was my first day back after a week. Took a little time off, just like all of us should. We all deserve time off. So I came back yesterday, and I felt like there was a lot that had happened over the last 4 or 5 days. And I really wanted to get to all of it, but it was very difficult with my time given to be able to get to all of it. Now that I'm getting back in the groove, hopefully you guys are back in the groove of tuning in daily to the show. It's going to be all systems go. I'm going to have you covered with everything I possibly can, discussing every single South Florida sports subject, and of course, a whole lot more, because sure, some of you come here for the sports talk. Others come for everything else, and there's a lot of everything else. Right now, we're in a time of, I'd say, anticipation. I think that's where we are in general with all of our sports. The Dolphin season just came to an end a couple of weeks ago. It feels like it's longer than that, doesn't it? I guess just because we've been watching these playoff games, and playoff games are pretty much intense, and we get into them even if our team's not in it. And then you think back and you're like, oh, the Dolphins, when did they last play? And it wasn't all that long ago, but it feels like it was forever ago. Now we're all anticipating in the NFL what's going to be happening next. Not just with the Miami Dolphins, but with these games coming up. This Sunday, we get the AFC and NFC title games. And then we got one more game after that. I hate having to say, because I do this every year, I hate having to say we've only got 3 NFL games left. Because then after that, we've got that long wait. All the way until September. And here it is in January. And then after Sunday, we're only going to have one game left. Oof, my gosh, such a long wait. Thankfully, the NFL does a really good job with their offseason. And we do have other sports going on. Heck, pitchers and catchers, they're reporting sooner than you think. Fan Fest for the Miami Marlins, that's right around the corner. Yes, the Marlins do have fans. Not as much as the Yankees and Mets. Of course not. But they've got fans. And that Fan Fest, it's free, and it's more for kids. Those of you that have kids, you just bring your kids out there. Something for your kids to do, it's free. I don't think the parking is free, but maybe you want to take, like, the Bright Line to the Metro Rail, to the Metro Mover, to the Metro Bus, and then hope that one of those 4 doesn't break down or hit somebody or hit a car, something like that. And then do the same thing on the way home. I guess that's another way to get to Lone Depot Park. And for those of you that do have kids, at least kids that you know about, my assumption is you're probably every weekend looking for something to keep your kids or keep your kid busy. So if your kid is into baseball at all, or maybe not even into baseball, I think they've got some rides out there. It's a day to kill some time if you want to do that. The Marlins, they didn't send me an email and say, Andy, can you please promote this? No, they really didn't. Because if they did, then I probably wouldn't. I don't work for them. But I'm just doing my public service and letting all of you know that Fan Fest is coming up. But it's still a couple of weeks away. Just go to their website and it's got all the information. The Canes Hoops team, we got them. They're playing well. But it's January 26th. So playing well right now, we know in college basketball, the only time playing well really matters is in March. And we got a month until we get to March. A little bit more than a month. The Heat and Panthers, they're in the middle of their seasons. The All-Star breaks right around the corner. Still working our way towards playoff time. At least the Miami Heat are. The Florida Panthers, I hope, are working their way towards the playoffs, but at this point, I'm really not sure. What's crazy is, so like I said, the NBA and the NHL, they're going to have their All-Star breaks coming up. And the crazy part is, not this weekend, but next weekend, the NHL All-Star game is in Sunrise. It's at the FLA Live Arena where the Panthers play. So we're just over a week away from that. And I feel like that's not even a discussion. Some of you may not have even known that. Next weekend, the NHL All-Star game and all the festivities, it's in South Florida. And I feel like nobody is talking about it. I mean, sure, there's a few people, and maybe you see some ads and you see things on the internet. But if the Pro Bowl was in South Florida, even though the Pro Bowl has changed now, people will be talking about it. If the NBA All-Star game was in South Florida, you better believe people would be talking about it. And that hasn't happened in Miami in a long time. And if the Major League Baseball All-Star game was in South Florida, as it was just a few years ago in Little Havana, people talked about it. I remember that parade they had for the MLB All-Star game a few days before. They had the parade in downtown Miami. There were some players or mascots or something in cars, and they were going up and down Biscayne Boulevard, and there were like no people out there. How sad is that? Like, what in the world? Unless it's the NBA All-Star game or something NFL related, we just can't get into it. Baseball people showed up to the ballpark, although I still don't think it was sold out. But the NHL All-Star game, if you go on to StubHub right now and you take a look at buying All-Star tickets, this is, again, next weekend. I'll put it in my computer right now. NHL All-Star game. When I looked a few days ago, and I'm looking again now, there were so many seats available. Like, the whole arena was available. Now, this is the secondary market, so the tickets have already been purchased. But as far as people in seats, it's crazy how many seats are up for sale right now on StubHub. I hope it's well attended. I hope it's good for South Florida and the city of Sunrise, because I always want South Florida sports and everything in our town to succeed. And I say our town because I'm born and raised in South Florida, do the show for South Florida, and do the show in South Florida, but not always, because all of you should know by now, and if you don't, in case you're new here, now you're about to find out. I love doing the program where I am doing it once again today, and that is lovely Medellin. It is fantastic here in Colombia! Especially on a night like last night, where the Heat were off, the Panthers were off, the Canes were off. Limited TV action for South Florida sports. That's when I could just take in all of my amazing views. Girls, 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 girls. The views here, they are tremendous. And so many of you have taken my advice and come to Medellin because I get messages all of the time. So many of you have. For those of you that haven't, I highly suggest it. It's just so incredible. At least we got some TV watching tonight if you're into college basketball. FAU! I'm always talking about the Canes because I'm going to wager on them. But FAU, they're in action tonight at home in Boca. They are ranked 21st in the country. They're 19-1. Incredible. And they're asking everybody tonight to wear red. They're taking on Middle Tennessee State. Hopefully they will fare better against Middle Tennessee State than one of our other South Florida teams did. That would be the University of Miami football team. FAU tonight against Middle Tennessee State, 19-1. If you were ever going to go to an FAU basketball game, if you were thinking about it, I mean, this is the perfect time to do it. They're about a 9-point favorite tonight. They're looking really good for that NCAA tournament. So that'll be really cool. If you're in Boca tonight, you want to go to a basketball game, I'm sure the atmosphere in there, it's going to be electric. All right, I have a lot to get to this hour, so many things. Where do I start? The only thing I know right now is that I can't do anything until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
We have seen a lot of staff changes around the league. Earlier today, you may have heard about the Jets getting Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator. And then everyone says, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's coming to the Jets. Well, that would be interesting for sure. But with all of these staff changes going on and decisions being made, Dallas making a bunch of changes too, Joe Philbin, he's still around, but not in Dallas anymore. He was let go. I want to begin this hour talking about Vic Fangio. Because I have a feeling, and we'll see over the next few days, but Vic Fangio, he's interviewed for the Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator job. And yes, there are other candidates. There are names tossed around. And I love how on Twitter people are acting like they've heard every single name on that list. You see a list of everyone Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins have interviewed for their DC job. Oh, yeah, you know, this guy's good. That guy would be a great hire. Please. Like the Saints secondary coach. You really know if the Saints secondary coach is any good? Get out of here. Everybody pretends to be an expert. Oh, yeah. If I'm going to bring up the Saints secondary coach, I got to come on and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Please. Any Dolphins fan that's rooting for the Saints secondary coach, that's fine, but what do you really know about him or so many of the other guys on this list? So my approach here with any hire that the Dolphins make, I'm very honest about it because on this show, we're always all about
honesty.
Most of the assistants' names that have been kicked around, I don't know anything about them. And I don't anticipate that you have heard of them. Forget about knowing about them, but have even heard of them before. And again, I'm not going to come on here and pretend to know every single name to impress somebody. Please. If I knew every single person on a list, a candidate list for defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins, if I really did know every single person on that list and could tell you about them, well, then I'm not enjoying life. That's the way I look at it. I'd rather know all about my views than every single defensive coordinator on the list. That's just me personally. Maybe some of you would rather know every defensive coordinator on the list, and good for you. I live my life the way I do, and you could live yours the way you want to. That's one of the best parts about life. Now, when it comes to Vic Fangio, that is a name that I do know. And I know that name for a few reasons. He was the head coach of the Denver Broncos, so he's got head coaching experience. And he's been a defensive coordinator for like five different NFL teams. What I like about all of this when it comes to Fangio, Mike McDaniel's weakness so far is his inexperience, which is kind of a catch-22 because how do you overcome inexperience? You have to get more experience yourself. That's the only way to overcome it. With Mike McDaniel, that manifests itself in the things that fans complain about, such as clock management, pre-snap penalties. All of these things that the team looks unprepared for, they come up every single game. And all of that really shows that you have a rookie head coach. And that rookie head coach is doing rookie things. And let me be clear, the NFL, they don't care if you're from the Ivy League. The NFL doesn't care if you're funny. Fans don't care if you have a great backstory. Players on NFL teams and coaches on NFL staffs know that rookies, whether they're players on the other side, coaches, trainers, broadcasters, anyone without experience, everybody knows that they're going to make mistakes. And you can pretty much say that with any job. You're going to make mistakes until you have that experience. And once you compile all of this experience, if you're still making mistakes, then you're just not good. So I say all that to come back to the subject here of Fangio. The reason I like bringing in Vic Fangio is because he's been there before. He has the experience. Not only would I think that Mike McDaniel would essentially let Fangio be the, let's say, head coach of the defense, but I would imagine if Fangio sees Mike McDaniel making a mistake, and it's a mistake because of his lack of experience, I would think that Fangio would step in. And this would show something. The Dolphins hiring someone for the defensive coordinator job, McDaniel doing that hire, somebody with experience, it shows me a certain humility. Because if Mike McDaniel hires someone with more experience than he has, someone who's got a deeper NFL resume, when you're willing to surround yourself with great people and you're not threatened by them, you just want them there because of their experience, that is a critical trait to any successful person. And this is why I think Mike McDaniel needs to make that move. He needs, let's say, an adult in the room who can help him take that next step. In terms of scheme, I don't know what type of scheme would maximize the talent that the Dolphins have right now, because they do have a ton of good players on that defense, individual players, but collectively, the group has been off. So how you improve it? How does that defense take more chances and blitz more? Or maybe they're going to play more zone, or maybe they're going to try more stunts up front. How you do that and how those decisions will be made, because there's a lot to decide, that'll be between the DC and Mike McDaniel. But if you're going to hire a DC with a lot of experience, I highly doubt you're going to be meeting with the defensive coordinator that you just hired who's got a ton of experience and say, hey, look, we need to do it this way. Because then what's the point of hiring someone with a lot of experience? I would imagine that McDaniel will sit down with the new defensive coordinator and hammer out a philosophy, because Mike McDaniel is a head football coach. He's not just an offensive coordinator. He's not a defensive coordinator. He's the head football coach. He's responsible for everything that happens with this team, including the defense. So he needs to lay out a blueprint saying, hey, this is what I've been trying to do. This is what I'm thinking in my head. And okay, like, I would love for this to work. And then who he hires, obviously before he hires them, they're going to say, all right, well, this is what I think you should do. What do you think about this? Or Mike McDaniel does tell him, hey, this is what I really would like to do. Can you do this? And maybe the defensive coordinator has a better way of executing what Mike McDaniel really wants to do. I used a lot of words there. I probably said a few things a couple of times, but I hope you get my point. I'm just trying to put the picture in my head and yours at the same time. When McDaniel kept Josh Boyer, like that decision to keep Josh Boyer, I thought was lazy. I heard several interviews where Mike McDaniel said when he was in San Francisco, he hated playing against the Dolphins D. So He was like, look, we're just going to run it back with the same guy. But you can't just say that. You can't just do that. You can't just say, oh, well, they were pretty good before. Let's run it back. Because you got to mold a defense and come up with a concept and come up with a way for it to be executed. You got to do that together with your DC. And you've also got to incorporate Chris Greer into these conversations, because if you want a certain type of grocery, well, Chris Greer's got to be the one to go out there and do the shopping. And I think that's what happened on the offensive side of the ball, like with Tyreek Hill. So you got to have a match between the scheme, which is on McDaniel, and the personnel, which is on Greer. And then the execution or the help with that scheme, that's whoever the defensive coordinator is. And you see when it works. You see great defenses in the league. We're going to see two of them on Sunday in the NFC Championship game, the Eagles and the 49ers. The players match what the coaches want to do, and the players do it well. Those are the goals that the Dolphins are trying to reach. I think there's a way to simplify all of this. I'm going to try to simplify it a bit. I'll do that in just a minute. What you guys should do, head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you'll be surrounded by beautiful girls. I heard from somebody that went into Dean's Gold last night from this audience. Of course, I'm not going to say any names. And they were telling me they had such a fantastic time. And everything that I say here on the airwaves every single day about Dean's Gold is 100% true. If you have not been to Dean's Gold yet, what are you waiting for? The weekend, it is approaching us. But you don't even have to wait until Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Dean's Gold is open every single day of the week from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. And Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club for a reason. That is because they have the most beautiful women you will find in one building. And they come from all over the world. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Have yourself a great Thursday night or even early Friday morning. Surround yourself with beautiful women who come from all over the world. There's only one place in South Florida you could do that. Only one building. It is the ultimate gentleman's club. Dean's Gold. I'm doing the show here once again this afternoon from Medellin. And being here doesn't stop me from playing poker. I love playing poker anywhere I am. And I'm going to be playing in a big tournament here on Sunday. You guys, though, I tell you to come to Medellin. A lot of you can't, or you just can't make time, or whatever the reason is. Your passport is hidden by maybe somebody you live with. That's okay, though. It's all right. Head on over to Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. That is the home of the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. The next one's going to be coming up February 21st, so a little bit less than a month away. But they've got great tournaments going on all of the time and cash games, too. A lot of money up for grabs in that poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The easiest thing to do, really, this is the easiest, because they've got so many different tournaments going on all the time. Go to their site. It's shrpo.com. That's shrpo.com. Take a look at the tournament schedule and then head on out to try to win a poker tournament, just like I have the past two times that I've played in mine. The poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, it's a great atmosphere, great people, and a lot of action. So I highly suggest it. How much action are we going to get with the Miami Dolphins during their offseason? We know some changes need to be made roster-wise and staff-wise with the defensive coordinator. The previous segment, I was doing my best to try to describe what I think needs to happen. Maybe it was a little bit too much, but at the same time, I think what a lot of people do is try to simplify something when it's really not so simple. What do I mean by that? Look, people talk about the teams that are left here. The Chiefs, the Bengals, the 49ers, the Eagles. And sometimes we do this with the Miami Dolphins too, not being one of the four left because that's been forever. But you talk about these teams and you focus in on their quarterback. The conversation's always about the quarterback. Oh, Josh Allen got beat up by Joe Burrow. Burrow was way better. He was great. But here's the thing. Just look at the Bengals from last week. Yes, Burrow was great, but so were many other parts of that team. It's not as simple as, oh, let's look at the quarterback. Look at that 49ers-Cowboys game. There wasn't a quarterback that won that game for them. It was the 49ers defense and running game that won it. And heck, the Cowboys quarterback, Dak, sorry, Uncle Luke and many friends of mine, but he lost it with a few costly throws. And I say all this because when you look at the Miami Dolphins, and I could sit here and talk about their defense, I could talk about many things, and I already have. But a lot of people always come back to Tua. Eventually, there's going to have to be a conversation about what to do with him, how to proceed forward. And you look at the teams that are left right now. If you are Team Tua, do you believe right now that Tua is good enough to help the Miami Dolphins? It doesn't necessarily have to be lead the Miami Dolphins, but do you think he is good enough to help the Miami Dolphins compete against one of these teams that's playing this weekend? How confident would you feel, again, if he's fully healthy? Notice I didn't say, is Tua up there with Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts? My question is Tua good enough to be able to have his team compete with these teams? Because it's not just about Tua. He's got a lot of weapons around him. So with Tua at quarterback, can the Miami Dolphins compete with the Chiefs this weekend? Could they compete with the Bengals this weekend? I'm not asking for Tua to go win a Super Bowl by himself. The only way you're going to win a Super Bowl by yourself, you got to be an extremely good quarterback. And there are quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls by themselves. Tom Brady is the number one name that comes to mind. Yeah, he's got a supporting cast, but we know it's all about Tom Brady. So is Tua at the level, if healthy, where there are enough really good players around him that he is going to be able to get the job done? The Dolphins will be able to compete in these games. Can they do that? It's not as simple as, oh, can Tua win a Super Bowl? It doesn't all have to be about Tua. And I saw a video earlier today. I think Joe Shad retweeted it. Otherwise, I would have never seen it. So Shad gets the credit here. Tua's parents were talking. They were being interviewed. And they were asked, is there any doubt that Tua is going to come back and play next season? And before the person asking could even get the final words out of their mouth, both of his parents were like, oh yeah, he's coming back. Absolutely, he's coming back. So Tua coming back, we pretty much know is going to happen. But in what capacity is he going to come back? And will he be able to stay healthy? Look, I tweeted out a week ago the odds of where Tom Brady is going to play next season. And I said, Brady to the Dolphins at plus 750, it's a good bet. And I still believe it's a good bet. And then you have this viral video the other day from inside Miami Country Day School, which is a wealthy school in Miami-Dade County. Tom Brady was there on a tour looking for schools for his kids. Now, some people want to connect the dots, just like the Jets hiring Nathaniel Hackett to be their OC, connecting the dots to Aaron Rodgers being their next quarterback. And look, that could be true. Some people want to connect the dots, Brady looking around at Miami Country Day School, to Brady not just staying in Miami, but actually playing for the Dolphins as well. You can have a house and you can stay in Miami in the offseason. Doesn't mean you got to play for the Miami Dolphins. Stephen Ross was willing to get suspended for Tom Brady. All right, we remember that. So, yes, Stephen Ross likes Tom Brady a lot. They are both Michigan men. And now there's a ton of questions surrounding Tom Brady yet again. Does he want to play is question number one. Like, does he want to play at all? And that feels like an important one. If he does want to play, how long can he play? Also, how much is he going to cost? Remember, Tua is still on a rookie deal. And if Brady did decide to play for Miami, well, then what's going to happen to Tua? Because if Brady goes to Stephen Ross, and he may have already done this, or to somebody else, and said, yeah, you know, I would like to play for you guys. You think Stephen Ross is going to say, nah, we're going to stick with Tua here? No way. If Tom Brady wants to be a Miami Dolphin, he's going to be a Miami Dolphin. But what would that mean for Tua? Because Brady's not a long-term plan. I think if Stephen Ross had to give up the long-term plan for one Super Bowl, all right, to get that title, I think he would take it in a heartbeat. Stephen Ross is 82 years old. He's a guy who has succeeded at everything he's done in life. He is a billionaire. Stephen Ross's real estate empire is humongous. The business school at Michigan was named after him. His real goal left is to win a Super Bowl with the Miami Dolphins. And when you're 82 years old, you probably don't have that much longer to try to do it. I'm not trying to be like death here, but I mean, let's just be real. So if Stephen Ross has to blow up the long-term plan to win next season, you think he would do it? Because I certainly think he would. Does that mean Tom Brady? Well, look, if there's any time to speculate about it, it would be right now, because nationally that's what people are talking about. Brady's in Miami. Could he want to play in Miami? He's got a place in Miami. He's building a bigger place in Miami. And then you've got people whispering even louder now, where it's not even a whisper, about Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets. This is speculation time. And can you imagine that if Aaron Rodgers does go to the Jets and Tom Brady comes to Miami? Both of those guys in the AFC East. The Jets have talent. They're going to get Breece Hall, their running back, back in action. Their defense is really good. They got some playmakers on offense. You add Aaron Rodgers to the mix, the Jets might be a really good team. You add Tom Brady to the mix for the Miami Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in a running game. I mean, you might have to go find some of that running game, but Raheem Mostert, he was doing pretty good. So if you're going to speculate, this is the time to do it. Right now. Another thing you should be doing right now, if you need dental work, checking out the Costa Rica Dental Team, because they are going to save you a fortune when compared to U.S. dental prices. The Costa Rica Dental Team provides top-notch dental work, and they will save you 50 to 70% when compared to prices that you've been getting in South Florida or anywhere in the U.S. I know that because I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself. If you need veneers, crowns, implants, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica Dental Team will take great care of you. So check them out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing And then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. I want to talk some basketball, but before I do, one more football note, particularly Miami Dolphins note. A really big honor for Tyreek Hill that is really cool. So we've seen year after year, the NFL has this honor show and they do it right before the Super Bowl. Tyreek Hill, he's one of four guys who are nominated for Offensive Player of the Year. I'm not just talking about wide receiver. I'm talking about Offensive Player of the Year. You got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Jefferson. That's one heck of a group. And I'm happy to see Tyreek on that list because this dude earned it. He was outstanding, and it's not every time that somebody comes in with a lot of hype, so many expectations, and year one, boom, they deliver. Think about it, because I don't think we talk about it enough. Tyreek was setting all kinds of records. His teammates loved him. He never complained. He never whined. He never got out of that mode where it's about the team and it's only like you. No, he was always about the team. He was a leader on the offense. He was a leader in the locker room. He was everything. And yeah, he was banged up from time to time, like in the middle of a game, but he always came back. He was healthy. He battled against any injuries. So Tyreek Hill coming in when we found out about it in the offseason, that was so hyped. And then during the year, I think he was even better than we thought he would be. I would call that move an A+. Tyreek, he brought that extra dynamic to this organization that took them from just like meh to wow, this team is really good. We were all thinking that. The Dolphins were 8-3, and Tua was playing fantastic, but so was Tyreek Hill. He's a great player, and we are so lucky in South Florida. Dolphins fans are so lucky to have Tyreek Hill on this team. Without Tyreek Hill, I mean, you just take away that move for Tyreek Hill. Okay, you're going to get some picks and all that, but you take away that move, you don't have Tyreek Hill on this team. You think the Miami Dolphins would have even gotten that wild card spot? I don't think so. A complete game changer. Now, is he a good bet to win the Offensive Player of the Year? That's some tough competition. But he certainly deserves to be on that list. And he absolutely could win it. Hey, you could win too if you head on over to Gulfstream Park. The Pegasus World Cup, one of the richest races in the United States. It's at Gulfstream Park in just 2 days from now. Saturday is going to be awesome at Gulfstream Park. There are tickets still available. For all of the information on anything Gulfstream Park related, including the Pegasus World Cup, go to their site or use Google. I mean, I don't even really have to tell you this nowadays. Everybody just goes on the web and puts in, okay, he's talking about Gulfstream Park. Let me just Google Gulfstream Park. It's like, why give out a phone number anymore, right? I don't give out phone numbers because you just go on Google and you put in the name and you find it yourself. What you really need to find, though, some winning horses. You find some winning horses, especially five or six in a row, you're going to get some big bucks. This weekend, they're having huge mandatory payouts at Gulfstream Park. At least $750,000 up for grabs twice on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they're looking at their Rainbow Six pool, which is a 20-cent bet, at having about $3 million in it. You better believe I'm going to be wagering on that, and hopefully you will be too. Let's all win together and have a great time in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. Jimmy Butler says he's playing tomorrow. That's a shocker. We all kind of knew what direction this was going in. First, we see the 12-year-old kid who was shown at a Heat game on national TV. Very disappointed that Jimmy wasn't playing. He flew 4,400 miles to see him. The Heat did damage control on game day. And then the next day, yesterday, Jimmy got to the kid, had him at the arena with his family, took pictures, gave him a whole bunch of things. It was all nice. The Heat and Jimmy really had no choice once that kid was on national TV with that sign. They had to do something, because if they didn't, it would have been a terrible look for Jimmy, for the Heat, and for the league. You can't have that kid leaving the arena empty-handed. So the NBA, they continue to have a problem, and it's a big problem. It's not a Jimmy Butler problem. It's not a Miami Heat problem. It's a problem all over, where star players are sitting out more and more, and chances are when you turn on a nationally televised game, you're going to see what's supposed to be a great team, but they're down one or two really important players. This has got to change. Think of the NBA bubble. The owners, they wanted to keep their television money. They wanted to do it without having any fans there. The NBA managed to do it. They managed to keep paying their players, to keep having their games right in the middle of a pandemic. Now it's 3 years later. For all intents and purposes, the pandemic is over. And now these players just don't want to go out there to packed houses. They're like, I'm good. I'll play tomorrow. Because of what? Load management, back-to-backs? There's room to negotiate. Every team maybe gets a day off between games. Maybe that would increase the number of guys playing. Maybe there's a punishment for teams who sit players. Something. The bottom line is two of the most important contingents are getting a raw deal right now. Number one, the fans. And number two, the TV partners. The NBA is not giving the TV partners or the fans their best product. And when you sign up for a huge contract and all that money, it's not too much to ask. It's not too much to ask for the TV partners. It's not too much to ask for the fans. Hey, look, we're spending money. Can you find a way to get Steph Curry on the floor when I buy a ticket to a Warriors game? Or I'm going to do a television deal with you guys? If the TV partners knew beforehand, oh yeah, by the way, these players, they don't really care about the regular season, so they're going to be missing key guys. Do you think the TV contracts would still be the same? It's a joke. And it needs to change. Do I think Jimmy was load managing the other night? Look, Boston had five guys out and suddenly he tweaked his back? I'm not buying it. Now all of a sudden he's fine. He's going to play tomorrow, he says. It's not just Jimmy, though. It's not just the Heat. It's an NBA problem and it needs to get solved. Next season, it's got to be solved. That's all the time I have for this Thursday afternoon. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.